Jeremiah 49, of the children of Ammon. Thus says Yahweh, has Israel no sons? Has he no heir? Why then does Malcham possess Gad, and his people dwell in its cities? God is lamenting how his people had chosen the god Malcham of Ammon for their god. So sad, when God has done so much for us, and yet people don't want him. They don't want his son crucified for them. They'd rather spend their lives devoted to all the silly idols of the world around us. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard against Rabbah of the children of Ammon. It shall become a desolate heap. Her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel possess those who possessed him, says Yahweh. Well, this is looking, in the end, to a future time, when all the territory and the land promised to Abraham from Egypt to the river Euphrates, and that includes Ammon, will be possessed by Israel. Wail, Heshbon, for Ai is laid waste. Cry, you daughters of Rabbah, clothe yourself in sackcloth, lament, and run back and forth among the fences. For Malcham, that's their god, shall go into captivity, his priests and his princes together. But I think this appeal then to clothe yourself in sackcloth and lament, I think this is asking them to repent. God wanted even these Gentile people in Ammon to repent and turn to him. Why do you glory in the valleys, your flowing valley, backsliding daughter, who trusted in her treasures, saying, who shall come to me? Now that is the mentality of our world, to trust in your treasures and say, and who shall come to me? I've got wealth, I've got this, I've got that. And people spend their lives trying to get wealth so that they can trust in it. But you've got to take seriously what Jesus said, that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter God's kingdom, because it is the poor who will trust in God. As soon as you've got riches, you want to trust in them. And that is a simple fact that's borne out throughout the Bible. So it's not surprising that maybe God doesn't give us great wealth. Behold, I will bring a fear on you, says the Lord, from all who are around you. You shall be driven out, every man right forth. But afterwards I will revive the fortunes of the children of Ammon, says Yahweh. So I think God is still looking to a day when Ammon will repent, and that may be when Jesus comes back. About Edom. Is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Has their wisdom vanished? Edom, which is Esau, were well known for their wisdom, but it was going to be of no help in the day of God's judgment. Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau on him, the time that I shall visit him. If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some grapes to be gleaned? If thieves by night, wouldn't they steal until they had had enough? But I have made Esau bare, I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. I think God is saying that they had been greedy. That as God says elsewhere, men don't despise a thief if he steals just to satisfy his hunger. But these people had been absolutely greedy. I think you see there how God so carefully weighs human behavior, even the behavior of those who are maybe not his direct people, as Edom weren't. And yet he notices it, and he judges them. Leave your fatherless children. I will preserve them alive. Let your widows trust in me. So God really wanted Edom to repent. He really did want them to trust in him. For thus says Yahweh, behold, they to whom it didn't pertain to drink of the cup will certainly drink. And are you he who shall altogether go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, but you shall surely drink. So in these chapters, judgment is likened to God giving the nations a cup of wine to drink. Now, a cup of wine from the Lord can either be a symbol of your condemnation, or, as we read about the breaking of bread, the cup of blessing which we bless. But if you refuse to drink it, as they refused, remember Jeremiah earlier had taken a cup of wine to the nations, And God said, and those who refuse to drink it will be condemned. It will be as if they have drunk it. So it was here with Edom, that it's not possible to say that, oh, okay, I just pass. I don't want to be involved in this. I won't drink it. Well, you can't avoid it. There is therefore ultimately only two possible destinies for us, two exits at the end, the day of judgment, to eternal death or to eternal life. Therefore, as God often says, choose life that you may live. Seeing there's only those two choices, well, give yourself to God's way completely. I have sworn by myself, says Yahweh, that Bozrah, that's in Edom, shall become an astonishment, a waste and a curse. I have heard news from Yahweh, and an ambassador is sent among the nations, saying, gather yourselves together and come against her, rise up to the battle. I have made you small among the nations. As for your terror, the pride of your heart has deceived you. O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill, though you should make your nest as high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, says Yahweh. So they thought that because they had these strongholds up in the mountains, they were absolutely untouchable. And so the pride of your heart has deceived you. All these nations, the problem was pride. It was pride which stopped them repenting. It was trust in some strength they had, their mighty men or their geographical location up in the mountains. And all these things will perish. All human strength will come down before God. Edom shall become an astonishment. Each one who passes by it shall be astonished. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, no man will dwell there. He will come up like a lion from the pride of the Jordan against the strong habitation. I will suddenly make them run away from it, and whoever is chosen, him will I appoint over it. For who is like me? And who will appoint me a time? And who is the shepherd who will stand before me? Therefore hear the counsel of Yahweh that he has taken against Edom, and his purposes that he has purposed. So hear God's word against Edom. I think this is God desperately appealing to them to stop trusting in their human strength, to stop trusting in their idols, and to repent. This is what God wanted of them. He wasn't lashing out at them in anger. He desperately wanted even these Gentiles to repent. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah. The heart of the mighty men of Edom at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her labor pains. Of Damascus, Hamath is confounded and Arpad, for they have heard evil news. They are melted away. There is sorrow on the sea. It can't be quiet. Damascus has grown feeble. She turns herself to flee. And trembling has seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken hold of her as of a woman in travail. Keeps on using that figure that they're going to be in so much pain and sort of panic as of a woman in travail, a woman in labor. But the idea is, of course, that a woman goes through that pain only temporarily. And then, as the Lord Jesus says, she doesn't remember all that for joy that a child is born into the world. So I think that with all these nations, God was hoping that the judgment he brought upon them, including upon Damascus that had been an enemy of Israel, that all that suffering would lead to new birth, would lead to a new life, to repentance, to being born again. Now that didn't, unfortunately, happen, but that was clearly God's hope. And that's why he uses this language of a woman in labor pains. And so when you and I do repent, and when other people truly repent, God is so happy because this is what he seeks for. But it requires humility, and that is what is so lacking in most human beings. How is the city of praise not forsaken, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be brought to silence. I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. So, sadly, they wouldn't repent. of Kedar and the kingdoms of Hazor, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, struck. Thus says Yahweh, arise, go up to Kedar, and destroy the children of the east. Their tents and their flocks shall they take, they shall carry away for themselves their curtains and their camels, and they shall cry to them, there's terror on every side. Flee, wander far off, dwell in the depths, you inhabitants of Hazor, says Yahweh. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has taken counsel against you, and has conceived a purpose against you. So again, these people are being told, repent, believe this word, and run away. Because I'm telling you that Nebuchadnezzar has got a plan to attack you and destroy you, and you won't escape. Arise, go up to a nation that is at ease, that dwells without care, that have neither gates nor bars, that dwell alone. Their camels shall be a booty, the multitude of their livestock a spoil, and I will scatter to all winds those who have the corners of their beards cut off. That's probably a sign of worshipping certain gods or idols. Hazor will be a dwelling place of jackals, a desolation forever. No man shall dwell there. The word of Yahweh that came to Jeremiah about Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah. Thus says Yahweh, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Again, what people trust in, they trusted in their bows, in their bows and arrows, in their archery. Whatever people trust in, other than in God, God will break. On Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of the sky, and will scatter them towards all those winds. There shall be no nation where the outcasts of Elam shall not come. I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring evil on them. I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from there kings and princes. But it shall happen in the latter days that I will restore the fortunes of Elam, says Yahweh. So with all these nations, it was God's intention that in the last days they would be restored. And I said that that's why he uses several times this figure of a woman who is in labor pains to bring forth a child, that his hope was that through all this judgment, they would repent and turn to him. Now, although it does all seem a bit blood and guts, as it were, all these judgments, if they had repented, and this is the point of these prophecies, if they had repented, that would not have happened. But even, okay, they didn't repent, so it happened. But even that was intended to be the labor pains of a woman that would bring forth their being born again. So all the time, you don't see God's anger as in lashing out in anger at people, but his desire by all means to help people to repentance.